Back in the central commentary position now after a little sojourn over to the stables. How are your eyes? You're okay?
Yeah, we got caught there, obviously walking around with the blowers.
Yes.
And the whippersnippers and everything, and every sort of particle that was on the ground, bang, straight into us. So
how'd they get through the glasses?
Oh,
they're pretty
mate,
thick, those glasses.
They got through, don't worry about that.
What about yesterday when we went for a swim in the pool? You dived in and there he is. And I started talking to him and he said, you realise, like he didn't know where to look, he said, you realise I can't see a thing without the glasses. Can you bring me those there, my glasses? I said, what do you mean? He said, those glasses there. I said, mate, they're my sunglasses. He said, oh, where are my glasses? Where are my glasses?
On the bottom of the pool.
They're on the bottom of the pool.
I just jumped straight in.
Forgot you had your glasses cool on. They're in the bottom of the pool at the hotel we're staying at.
Anyway.
Fantastic. Disappointment for Sydney FC last night. Went all the way over to
yep,
Perth. Perth Glory, great win for them. Extend their lead at the top of the ladder. Phil Moss is our football expert today, and he's going to take us through what the highs and lows were for Sydney FC. Morning, Mossy.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Good, mate. Very, very good. What did you make of last night's performance? I mean, Perth obviously have been going pretty well. They're now equal favourites with the Melbourne victory at TAB to win the A-League. And they were dominant last night.
Mm.
They certainly were. And look, we've been talking for a few weeks now. And Stevie Corica, more importantly, has been talking about these slow starts from Sydney FC. And it came back to bite them last night because Perth blew them out of the water in the first half. 3-0 to the good at half time. Over in the West,
yeah,
it was a beautiful night for football, and the pitch was fantastic. But Sydney FC just they really need to get going in the first half of games. We've seen that regularly the last few weeks. Well, actually more than that. So they finally got punished by a good side, Joel Chianese, with two outstanding goals for Perth Glory, two outstanding team goals, and Brendan Santelab just on the stroke of half time got his first goal for his new club under Tony Popovich, and Lafondra responded with an absolute bomb from outside the box in the 68th minute. But, yeah, it was too little, too late for Sydney. They really didn't create enough chances in the game, and it was well-deserved, a well-deserved six-point lead at the top of the table by Perth, and it brought to an end Sydney's 9 wins from 9 games against Perth.
No doubt about Adam Lafondra. I mean, we talk about this, and I think he's the fastest to double figure goals in the A-League. He's come into the Sydney FC side and he's hit the ground running straight away, hasn't he, Mossy?
He certainly has, Jim. And look, he talked the talk leading into the season that the Bobo record didn't faze him one bit. Boy, oh boy, as he walked the walk. That's his 11th, I think, or 12th goal now in 12 games. And last night was... It was outstanding. It was an outstanding goal. It was from a Perth mistake. It came out of nowhere, but he had one touch outside the box and rocketed it into the top corner against Liam Reddy, no less, who's a fantastic goalkeeper. Nothing he could do about it. But the big talking point last night was Andy Keogh on the bench for Perth Glory. It came out of the club in Perth that it was a planned rest because of the clutch of games they've had. But there's these rumours that keep swirling about him in a swap deal with Bruno Fornaroli from Melbourne City. And look, my take on it is I can understand why Melbourne City would want Keogh, but I can't understand why Perth would want Fornaroli. He hasn't played for about 6 or 8 weeks. It would take him a while to get back to his best. And Andy Keogh is, apart from last night, scoring goals for Perth. He's their captain. He's energetic. He makes great runs. He's a fantastic finisher. So I can't imagine why Perth would want to let him go.
That Adelaide United match as well, mate, they were very good against the victory. And the victory almost looked a bit shocked in some of the highlights I saw at the death of that match. Did they get a bit, not ahead of themselves, but did they feel as though they were getting a bit invincible?
Well, it's a funny one, Davey. It was a 2-minute blitz on the scoreboard, but it was a first half demolition by Adelaide. They absolutely blew Melbourne Victory out of the water in that first half. It was as close to a perfect half of football as you'll see in the A League. Best first half performance by an A League team that I can remember. Goals to Goodwin and Kenny Ilso. And it brought to an end Melbourne Victory's 9-game unbeaten streak. But I don't know if you could say Melbourne Victory, were in their comfort zone. I just think Adelaide, it'd be taking away from Adelaide. They were absolutely exceptional in that first half and fully deserved the 2-0 win. They couldn't put two halves of football like that together. But they'd done enough in the first half and then defended well in the second half. And to be fair, Melbourne Victory never looked like getting out of it.
No, and that's the thing. And maybe what I was more trying to sort of get at, Phil, was that they obviously no team likes losing, but were Victory starting to not be complacent, but they just had no answer for Adelaide at all. And for a team that was travelling and a lot of punters, and we saw that reflected with the market. I mean, like, they're equal favourites with Perth, but it just shows that the gap between the Victory and United, I mean, they're 10 bucks to win the comp. Now, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge, but are these prices out of whack at the moment?
Look, I think Perth are clear favourites, the way that they're playing home and away. You know, they're playing great football at home, and when they travel, they've got this this real mentality, siege mentality, if you like, that they're just not going to be broken down easily. And that's the mentality of Tony Popovich shining through. There's no doubt about that. That's what he's brought to the club. Melbourne Victory are really suffering from the loss of Honda. You know, he was exceptional up until he got this this one-of-a-kind hamstring injury. So we don't know how long he'll be out for, but certainly in clutch moments in games where you needed that, just that touch of class, Honda always produced. And Ola Toivonen is a fantastic player. Troisi, Antonis, they're doing well, but they just miss that touch of class from Honda. So the quicker he gets back, the better for Melbourne Victory. But you'd have to say Perth clear favourites at the moment.
I just want to go to some live footy at the moment too, Mossy. Manchester City 2-0 up over Burton Albion. This is another one of these ties in the Football League Cup as well. No surprise there.
No surprise there, Jimmy. And probably just, with all due respect to Burton Albion, just a training run from Manchester City. Probably good timing as well with the EPL break, just to get a run out and get themselves ready for the EPL return.
Yeah. What about the Socceroos, mate? Any more wash up after that loss that you've heard along the grapevine? Of course, we're short price favourites on Friday to be beating Palestine. We're $1.25 in that match.
That's come in too, hasn't it?
Yeah, just slightly. But, I mean, look, we should be putting away Syria and Palestine, shouldn't we?
It's been interesting. Jimmy and I were looking at those odds the other morning, and I think it was started off at $1.15, blew out to $1.30, and now they're back in a little bit. There's been a lot of talk, and it's been. Matty Ryan came out and was brutally honest and said, you know, maybe we took them a little bit too lightly after our 5-0 friendly win over Oman, and that's a big thing for a player to say. So you can bet your bottom dollar there's a reaction. Graham Arnold is the best in the business at getting a reaction after a bad result, and he will get that. All the talk really is about what changes he may make. The names Irvine and Economides keep popping up. It may be for the likes of McLaren and Cruz. Ryan Grant will definitely come into the side. Josh Risden has sustained a stomach injury, so he'll be out. Ryan Grant, you won't lose anything there. He makes fantastic runs, great energy, and he'll be a massive in for the Socceroos. And I think Irvine, the energy of him and the pace of Economides, I think they're two crucial ins if Graham Arnold does decide to go with them. But the big talking point is Tommy Rogic. Will he play? Broken hand. He doesn't take throw-ins, so he should be fine.
I was going to ask about that. We had a couple of SMS yesterday from a bloke who's saying, well, if he doesn't play with a broken hand, he should never play for the Socceroos again. But, okay, so he should be playing in that game. The other thing I wanted to ask you about too, Phil, is the starts that Australia have had. They all spoke about, all the Socceroos players, they all spoke about the slow start that they have. And given the way that sides are playing against them, and that is just waiting for them to attack, get the ball and trying to hit them on the counter, does that ensure that if they don't get that good start, if they do go one goal down, it makes it very hard for them from that point?
Well, goals change games in our code, Jimmy, as you know, and it certainly changes the complex of a game, context of a game, sorry, when the opposition does score. Look, we're a team that likes to get on the front foot. Graham Arnold's a very aggressive coach, likes to press and get the ball forward as quickly as possible through the lines and get bodies into the box. That's his style of coaching. But he doesn't disregard the defensive side of the game by any stretch. So it is important that if we are going to start so aggressively that we get the go-ahead goal, and there's no reason to suggest we won't against Palestine without taking them lightly. But certainly we need to make sure the mentality is right, that if we do go a goal down, will be more effective in breaking Palestine down than we were against Jordan. Mm. Jordan had such energy and aggression at the ball, and we just didn't cope with that well enough. So that's an aspect that has to change against Palestine. But we've really got to stamp our authority early, control the tempo of the game, and move the ball quickly as we can. And that was missing the other night.
Yeah, Mossy, thank you very much for your time, mate. As always, very much appreciated. Very insightful, and we'll have to have something maybe on Perth at that $4. We're thinking of you today as well, mate.
Well, Davey, I do want to ask a question of you guys before I go. You can't seriously call what you guys are doing up there work, can you?
No.
What we are is very grateful for the position
mate,
that
this
we're
is
in.
A holiday.
We are very grateful for the position.
This is, mate, I haven't worked for 5 years. I consider what I do. This is not work, honestly. Since I started at Sky, I haven't worked.
No,
it is the best.
Just,
it is just the
sure
best.
Make sure you blow up Jimmy's floaties for him today if he gets in the pool.
Yeah, just be careful with that.
Lucky enough to find a stool near the bar.